स्पाइस रेडियो और रेडियो रिमझिम सुन रहे हैं। हम गपशप का प्रोग्राम है। हमारी घड़ियों में बाद दोपहर के 2:05 हुआ चाहते हैं। अब से लेकर 3 तक आपका और हमारा साथ रहेगा हमारे आज के इस कार्यक्रम में, जिसका नाम बड़े प्यार से हमने गपशप रखा है, क्योंकि इसमें वो सभी बातें जो आज आपकी नज़रों में अटकेंगी, खटकेंगी और दिल में समाएंगी, उन सबको लेकर हम हाजिर हैं। ये बताते हुए कि बाहर का मौसम खुशनुमा है, बरसात नहीं हो रही, लेकिन आज रात तक बरसात होने के इम्कान ज़रूर हैं। स्टूडियो के अंदर का मौसम, मैं हमेशा कहती हूँ, बड़ा अच्छा होता है, क्योंकि हमारे साथ हमारे गेस्ट्स होते हैं और आज के हमारे गेस्ट सिम्पसन थॉमस एंड एसोसिएट्स की तरफ से, जो कि ट्रायल लॉयर्स हैं, एडम यूलन है, तो आइए प्रोग्राम में उनका स्वागत करें। हमारी बातचीत उनके साथ अंग्रेजी में रहेगी। एडम, यू आर मोस्ट वेलकम इन आवर प्रोग्राम। हाउ आर यू डूइंग?
आई एम डूइंग वंडरफुल, थैंक्स फॉर हैविंग मी, इट्स वंडरफुल टू बी हियर।
So did I pronounce your last name properly?
Yeah, Adam Yuland. It's spelled funny, but it's just quite easy to say once you get to know.
That's right, Yuland. So where does Yuland come from?
It's actually a Norwegian last name.
No kidding.
Yes.
The other day we just saw and we read people living in Norway. Is Norway anything to do with Norwegian people?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're very happy people.
They are always ranking very high on the level of happiness in society. It's a great place, yeah.
So why do you think that is?
I think they just have a nice way of looking at things, a bit more relaxed, not maybe the pressures we have over here. But yeah, they're an excellent people.
So when they transport themselves from there and come to Canada, do they bring that happiness with them?
I hope they try. Yeah, I hope they try for sure.
So your parents must have come here, or grandparents must have come here a long time ago.
My grandfather actually came when he was 18 years old and settled by himself on a farm in Saskatchewan.
Wow.
It's quite a story. He was a great man.
You know, those stories are Canadian stories. Those are immigrant stories. Those are stories that you listen to and you get inspired.
Oh, I agree. He told me the story many times, and I always love to hear it.
We'd like to hear a little bit of that story.
So he settled. He came over when he was only 18, 19 years old. He moved into a farmhouse, like a mud hut in the middle of Saskatchewan, started farming. He had my first two aunts and uncles. They were born there. They were twins. And then they finally migrated towards Burnaby, where they all live now, and they've lived there since they were born and raised there.
No kidding.
It's an excellent story. Oh, yes.
So now, when immigrants from Europe came, and especially Saskatchewan, I mean, it's a huge province of British Columbia, isn't it?
I was fortunate enough to do my law school in Saskatoon, so I spent my time in Saskatchewan as well.
Really?
And I can't imagine what it would be like to do a winter in a mud hut in Saskatchewan. Oh. It would just be unbelievable. But they did it for years. So it's an amazing case of survival and determination.
You know, I my hat's off to people who sort of pack up their bags and decide to go to another country. And I am a daughter of immigrants as well. But our parents were slightly crazy, I think. They had 6 kids and they moved all of us from Africa to India, thinking we're Indians, we would settle there. Then couldn't settle there properly, came back to Africa, and then went the whole jing bang, went again to England.
Wow, that's impressive. That's a long journey.
And huge. And from there on, you know, we've now come to North America, Canada, and America. But it's the spirit of immigrants that makes a country, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. You bring the new ideas, the new thoughts, the different traditions, and you bring them all together, and that's how you learn. You learn what the world's all about. I was fortunate enough, before going to law school, to do some backpacking. Mm. So I traveled through Southeast Asia, and I lived in Australia for a year, and I've been through Europe on a backpack as well. And that was daunting. I couldn't imagine actually laying down roots and trying to actually build a life somewhere, but it's very impressive.
You know, we are very fortunate to have Simpson Thomas and Associates as one of our sponsors for one of our events that we do every year. And this is our 10th annual event. And you're going to be there. So I am doubly excited about that.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. This is a great event. We're honoring some wonderful people that have done a lot for our world and our society. And it's going to be exciting to be there and to be part of it. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
So when you heard about our event and when you heard about what we were going to be doing there, what were your first thoughts?
Well, at Simpson Thomas & Associates, we represent a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds.
Yes.
And we see the impact of racism on everyone's individual lives, not only just maybe outside when you're dealing with other people, but personally, how at home and things like that. So we see these organizations like yourself and these events, we really want to support them. We really want to see that how important it is to raise this issue and acknowledge people have done a lot of hard work to fight these concerns. And so I think it's excellent that this has been 10 years, which is a great achievement. Well done. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, if people like you were not our sponsors, it would be very tough for us to carry on with this program. I wanted to ask you, you raised a point which we are raising every year, that discrimination and racism comes out of discrimination. You discriminate against somebody for whatever reason, and then it branches out into bullying, racism, whatever. When in your own practice as a legal counsel for your client, you must have come across this kind of racism or discrimination. And how have you been able to combat that?
So we see people, new immigrants, many times in different circumstances. And we see families that have been immigrated from different racial backgrounds. And you see the children being bullied at school or impacted or in job searches and things like that. Mm. Individually for myself, I just try and be supportive of those people when I'm in their presence, the best I can. Try and reassure them that the world, that is not the entire world.
No.
That is just a small portion of it that are not, and they're not right. It's not good, and you shouldn't have to accept that or tolerate it.
Right.
So as a firm, we deal with people on individual levels and try and support them as best we can. And then as a firm and as an individual, I like to sponsor events like this, Hands Against Racism, and other organizations that are working on the ground to help people individually fight this discrimination, as you mentioned.
I have I've noticed that Simpson Thomas and Associates is a company that was started by Bernie Simpson, who himself, worked as an NDP MLA. I don't think he ever was in the ministry or anything, but he was one person within the South Asian community that some people used to call him Bernie Singh.
Excellent. He actually started out as a social worker.
Right.
So he's got his roots deep in the community and deep in these issues. And he's been such a big part of the community for so long.
Right.
And he's seen so much of this and fought so hard. So as a firm, we continue on in that aim.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about what your company is currently doing, because for the longest, Simpson Thomas & Associates was known for fighting ICBC and fighting for the rights of people who were hurt. And ICBC was being, a little tough with them and not caring, like little bullies they were. And then they suddenly, since David Eby, who took over ICBC and now our premier, they did a 180-degree turn and are no longer looking after people. If they are hurt, this is my understanding, that they do not get paid for any of the suffering that they go through, but they do get, according to the ICBC, some of the help in getting some, treatment done. And you guys used to be number one as far as ICBC, cases were concerned. And ever since No Fault has come in, you guys had to, sort of shift your focus. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Of course. As you mentioned, we've always been representing individuals.
Right.
We like fighting for people.
Right.
And so even when we were handling ICBC cases, which we still do, and personal injury cases, which we still do, even if you have issues with the current program, which they call enhanced care, I question the name, but we'd like to help people if they have issues with that as well in different ways as best we can. But helping people is what we do.
Yeah.
So now we help people in issues of family law. We help people in issues of employment law.
Right.
And other times, even if you have issues with insurance companies in general, denials,
right,
things like that, in any area where we think we can help an individual, we want to be able to do that, because that's what we've been doing and that's what we do best and that's what we like to do. So we're really happy to be helping people in a more broader capacity now. All of these things were somewhat incorporated under what we did before. Because when you dealt with someone who had injuries, you're dealing with your family.
Right.
When you're dealing with people who are injured and wage loss and their future capacity and their future care, that's family.
Mm-hmm.
Family's heavily involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And people lost their jobs when they got hurt. And
right,
we dealt with those issues as well when dealing with the ICBC cases. So it's very natural for us to be helping people in all these new areas, which are not nearly new because we've been doing them for a long time under the guise of ICBC cases.
Right.
So now it's just for us to be able to help people is what we want to do.
I want to delve deeper into that, and I'll also give the telephone number out if people want to ask questions from you. Our number, we'll open up telephone lines as well. Our number is 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863. Let's take a short commercial break, come back, and we'll talk about the services that you provide in and which areas do you provide the services in.
Sounds great.
Spice Radio or Radio Rim Jim Sun Rhe Aap Kap Shab Ka Program Hai Simpson Thomas and Associates Ki Taraf Se Aaj Adam Yulin Aaye Hue Hain Hamare Studios Mein Aur Agar Aap Unse Koi Sawal Puchna Chahte Ho To Hamara Telephone Number Hai 604-280-1200 Ya 604-299-8863 So Adam, we were talking about the different areas that lawyers work in. So obviously, as you mentioned, while you were doing ICBC work as well, you meet with families and you understand how families are affected when a person gets involved in a car accident or they've lost their job. So when we talk about family law, it wouldn't be that different from any other law, would it?
Well, family law is such an emotional thing. Mm. You have families that are separating in most cases, which is very difficult and obviously very stressful. And so you're really worried about making sure that everyone is taken care of, especially the children. You want to make sure the kids, no matter what happens between the parents, the kids are taken care of. Mm-hmm. So you really have to take time and get to know who your clients are and get to know what you're dealing with so you can find the best results. So it takes a personal touch to sit there and speak to them and talk to them and understand what they're going through, because those are the details that are going to help you understand what the best result you can get for your client and for their families.
I was always under the impression that lawyers are very cold-hearted people, calculating, thinking about how to get out of this situation and make a way for my client. Does that work like that? I mean, do you have to be a certain mindset to be in a profession like this?
I think you have to be both because you have to be aware. They have to be compassionate and caring for your client. And realize what you're doing in a holistic sense.
Right.
Understanding the pressures of a family law matter can be very stressful. And the courts have really focused on trying to change the nature of family law to be what they call collaborative, where they want people working together with the courts, not adversarial, which is the common understanding. And that's where the cold, calculated lawyer comes into play. But that being said, you have to be aware that there is an opposing counsel in many cases, and they are going and maybe trying to get the best for their client.
Right.
So you don't want to be in a position where you've undermined your client's situation or put your client at risk. So you have to be both. You have to be able to understand the circumstances with the best goal for your client, but not be taken advantage of if someone is trying to do that.
Is it almost like a chess game where, you know, you have to present your client's best interest and the opposing party has to present their client's best interest, and then you're moving your your little horses or rooks or in different directions?
That's very much the trial process, litigation process, when you get down to it and you have the parties who you just can't find to mediate.
Oh.
You just can't bring them together to talk.
Right.
And you're left with that process. And that can happen. In my perspective, early on, what you like to do is be able to find a collaborative where people work together to find a solution, because people will be happier if they can agree to something, if they can come to terms with the answer, and in long-term impact is better for them and their families because everyone's able to work it out.
Right.
But if you're left with a judge making a decision and it's an all-out fight in the courts, it's hard for someone and for each party to have really a good taste in their mouth, for lack of a better phrase, at the end of the day.
Yes.
So I really want to focus on working with opposing counsel or working with the other side to try and bring everyone to the table to have a conversation where everyone understands what's going on and we can come to a resolution that everyone can kind of accept.
That is beautifully put. I always think about, people come from different parts of the world to a place called Canada, where everybody is supposed to be very polite with everybody. You bump into somebody, you have to say sorry. Somebody else bumps into you, even then you say sorry to them, you know. So a place like that where you get to meet so many different cultures, so many different traditions, so many different ways of life. How does that play in your own day-to-day life with your clients, and how easy or difficult is it to understand somebody else's cultural nuances?
It can be challenging sometimes, but it's very important that you recognize them in the process, especially with families, because
right.
different traditions have different understandings of how the family should work.
That's
and
right.
generationally, too. You can have parents, grandparents, and everyone's in the picture, everyone's sometimes living together.
Yeah.
And so you have all these different dynamics working together, and if you just are not paying attention to the history, to the culture, you're going to not be able to provide the best solutions for those people because you're not respecting their traditions. You're not respecting their cultures. There is sometimes a conflict, though, because Canadian law is very protective of the children and gives equal rights to all.
Yes.
And sometimes that can be in conflict with some historical or cultural understandings.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to find that balance. And sometimes you have to educate people and say, I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you're telling me about your family history and your culture. But under the law here, it's different.
Mm.
And you have to be able to meld the two and help people understand how to get what they think is right under the system that we have.
In your profession, you know, Adam, I was thinking you must have met some people that are so difficult and that you have to, you know, you have sleepless nights thinking, how am I going to win this for my client, right? Is there a case like that that pops out in your mind?
There's a few.
A few.
The most troubling cases I have in my experience are when you have a very emotional circumstances and in ICBC cases as well. And you speak to your client one day and they're in a good mood or they've had a good day and they give you what I would consider reasonable instructions. And then the next day, the other person called or they upset them and now they've given you completely different instructions.
Oh my God.
So you're really trying to stay on a path and you just get pulled off the path every time. And so you really get worried about, today I'm talking to my client.
Right.
Are they going to be in a good mood or are they going to be in a bad mood? Are they going to give me instructions I can actually follow through on?
Right.
And sometimes you get instructions that you don't know how to present them to the other side.
No.
You don't know how to argue, but you have instructions and you're trying to find that balance.
Right.
And yeah, you have some very interesting conversations and you have some very troubled moments where people are not happy with you.
No.
And you have to do your best to try and bring them back into a reasonable perspective. But yeah, it can be very challenging. And you can have times where you are at a complete loss, where you're like, how do I go forward? How do I do this? But so, you find a way.
So do you at that time sort of try and get you know, some clarity, not from your client, because the client is the one who's giving you so much trouble. But say, for example, if it is a culturally different situation, do you go out and then look for a solution?
You do.
Yeah,
you have to,
I guess.
And in those cases, and what I've tried to build through my career is of kind of respect for the opposing counsel.
Mm.
And if they get to know you and you get to know them, you can have conversations where they understand what you're saying
right.
without you actually saying it.
Right.
You can communicate with them that we have concerns here that are outside the law.
Yeah.
That are outside that we have to address and deal with, or we're not going to find a solution.
Mm.
The other one that's very important sometimes is patience.
Oh.
You just have to be patient. You got to wait for your client to deal with the emotions of the situation
right.
and let them have a moment of this kind of feeling to get this out of their system.
Right, they had to get it out of their system.
They
got to
express it, you got to do it, and then patiently they oftentimes will come around and you get to a solution that they're going to accept and be able to move on with.
You know, if you find so many difficulties in just the ICBC cases where emotions run high, can you imagine how high the emotions would run when you're doing family law and just purely family law?
Oh, I've seen them.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of moments where there is fear because there's conflict and people are very emotional and they're very much and when children are involved they don't trust the other side. They want to kidnap their children.
They want to
protect their children. They
right.
don't want, and there's sometimes violence in the family. Family violence is a big issue right now in family law and the courts are trying to address it as best they can. It's very stressful. And you have those moments where, do I need to be in court tomorrow?
Mm.
Do I need to bring an application tomorrow to protect these children, to protect these my client?
Right.
And the level of emotion, you get crying phone calls at all times of the day.
Mm.
And so it's a real life. You're really in the nitty-gritty of it. And for us, it's emotional too. We take it home at night. But you do your best to provide the best support you can for your client and best advice you can for a client, while also protecting their safety.
So in positions like this, I know I'm grilling you on that, but I think you are also going back in your own life to see what sort of situations were you being put into. Say, for example, there is a case in which, you know, it's been a traumatic day listening to your client. You take that home. How easy or difficult is it? You mentioned you take your problems home. How easy or difficult is it to resolve it at home or resolve it within your own self? Or do you have to find your spouse to be the sounding board in this particular case or whatever?
It's very difficult. Interesting you mentioned that today. Last week, I was having my conversation with a junior lawyer in our office.
Yeah.
And I was explaining all the different things to her. And I kept telling her, what you have to do is you have to realize you've done your day of work.
Yes.
You spent your 10 hours giving your life and time to other people to help them. Now it's your time.
Yeah.
You have to be able to leave that at work. Your job is never going to be done.
No.
It's never going to be done. It'll be there tomorrow morning. So unless you're actually going to do something that evening, you have to let it go for the evening. Mm. And just know tomorrow morning when I get up, I'll go back to work and I'll fight hard for that client again.
Mm.
But I can't do that tonight. I need time for myself. I need to recharge the batteries, as everyone likes to say.
Yes.
And the one thing that's difficult, you talk about the spouse at home.
Yeah.
And one of the troubles is if you come home as a negative person to your spouse all the time, it doesn't make your home life any better. It doesn't make it enjoyable for you to be home and relax. So you have to be wary of it, be aware of that.
Right.
That you're not just coming home unloading all this emotion into your personal life because it doesn't make it any better.
No.
So you have to be, it took me a long time to work on that. And I still do. I still do. But it's important to make sure I did my job today.
Yeah.
I spent 10 hours today working hard, and I'll do it again tomorrow, but now it's time for me.
But, you know, mentioning about your spouse, and you have to have all the lawyers have to have very understanding, caring spouses so that they can sort of let you put your head on their shoulder and maybe cry a little bit.
It's very true. The most times you're supposed to be understanding is especially in trial.
Right.
Because trial, you're working 12, 14 hours a day, and you come home and you just collapse and you get up. And so I've been in trials that are 3 or 4 weeks long.
Wow.
And you have a week at minimum of that same type of hours of prep. So you could be a month or more where you are basically an absentee spouse.
Oh, wow.
And you're not there to do the day-to-day stuff. And it becomes difficult, but they understand it. If you have an understanding spouse, that's your job and that's what you do. And so when it's over, you try and make up some of that time and take a little break. And that's why, as we were talking a moment ago, when you come home from work on a regular day, you have to be able to put it behind you and spend that time with your spouse and your family. And it's quality time.
Yes.
It's very important. It's difficult, and it takes time to learn.
Yeah.
It took me about 10 years. So, but you have to learn it, and it's important.
I'm going to ask you a silly question, and I think it might lead into other questions, and we'll take a commercial break and come back to answer those questions. But in our judicial system, do we always have judge and jury, or is it your prerogative to choose judge or jury?
So in provincial court, where a lot of family matters are heard, it's just a judge.
Just the judge.
In provincial court.
Hmm.
In Supreme Court, it can be a judge or jury, and that can be chosen by either party.
Oh.
So in ICBC cases, there's been juries. ICBC can choose a jury a lot of the time. Or put out what's called a jury notice.
Okay.
That means they may or may not call a jury, but they want to have the right to do so they want. Plaintiff counsel can do that as well. In most family law cases that I deal with, it's a judge alone circumstances. And so it depends on the party's choice.
So okay, I'll ask those questions after the break. Let's take a short commercial break. Adam Uhland is in studios today. And if you have any questions, give us a call at 604-280-1200 or 604-299-8863. Spice Radio, Radio Rim Jim Sun Rhe, aap Gup Shup ka program hai. Aaj humare saath Simpson Thomas and Associates ki taraf se, jo ki trial lawyers hain, Adam Uhland aaye hue hain. Aur hum unse baat kar rahe hain family law ke baare mein. So, Adam, I was asking you a question about judges and juries. So, when a judge is So if there is just a judge and you guys are presenting your case for your client and the opposite side is presenting a case for their client, then the responsibility just lies on the shoulders of that poor judge to make the decision.
That's correct. When you're speaking in front of a judge, judges are obviously, that's their job. Mm. They do it for a living. Mm. They've all been lawyers before. Mm. So they have understanding of the law. They've probably argued in front of a judge themselves. So you're really presenting a case to someone that understands the law and they want an argument. They want to know the facts. They want to know how the facts apply to the law. And they really want to know what you are trying to get at. Mm. You have to be very clear, I want the following order from you. Mm. This is why I want it. Mm. And these are the facts that support my case. It's very analytical or very, very kind of structured
right.
in that sense,
yeah.
Which is very different from a jury.
So it's nothing like all the TV shows that we see.
One of the things I always tell my clients when I'm doing court proceedings with them is I tell them, first off, this is not American television. This is Canadian law. It's very different. It is. Everyone has this perspective of lawyers, and they're pounding the table and objecting and jumping up and down, and it's not. It's very
Doesn't
polite.
Like that?
On occasion, you get excited, but most times it's very systematic. Mm. And to be prepared, you have to know your facts and know your law and be ready to present to the judge. And like an interview like this one, the judge can have a lot of questions.
Yes.
And you have to be ready to answer them as best you can.
Right.
And that's personally, that's what I love the best. That's
right.
My favorite thing to do is be up in front of a judge, arguing a case, and going back and forth, answering questions and debating with the judge about the case and the facts and the law. I find that to be the most interesting part of my job.
And also it sort of brings up stuff that you might, in your preparation, might have put it aside, but you know about it, but you don't think it's that important to come right now. And then the judge asks you, and you bring that in.
Well, it's always nice when the judge asks you questions, because you know what they're thinking. You know what's important to them.
Right.
So you want the judge to ask you questions so you can talk to the judge specifically about what they're interested in. If the judge is just sitting there with a stone face and not responding to you at all, it's very stressful because you don't know what they're listening to. If they care what you have to say or if they're paying attention, it can be stressful. I'd much rather have a conversation or be questioned because then right. at least you know they're paying attention.
That's right.
And you know what they're interested in. It can help you make your argument.
Now, while we're talking about court cases and judges and stories that you guys have to spin, not fabricated, but real stories, anything comes to your mind that is an incident that we can talk about without revealing anything?
Sure. Sometimes everyone has their own past.
Yes.
Everyone has their histories.
Maybe we have skeletons in the cupboard. Is that what you're saying?
One or two. And so many times when you get on a case and you put your plaintiff on the stand, they get cross-examined. And sometimes they'll say things you wish they didn't say. And so the judge will ask you about those ones, and you're doing your best to say, well, the fact he had a cocaine addiction is no important at all. The fact he has a history of criminal behavior going back 20 years doesn't matter at all. And so you're really trying to avoid talking about those topics and focusing on something else that's important.
Right.
But yeah, you get many circumstances where the judge is looking at you like, you got to be kidding me. Of course that's important. But you do your best to try and focus their attention on something else and have them not focused on what your client may have said on the stand. And that sometimes can be comical almost.
So that brings me to the topic. When you accept a case, do you always accept a case in which your client is innocent, or do you also accept a case in which your client is not innocent, but you have to prove that client to be innocent?
So we're not talking about criminal law.
No.
We're talking about family law, personal injury,
yes.
sometimes employment law, things
yes.
like that. In almost every case, nobody's perfect.
Mm.
But in family law, in particular, you have certain circumstances where one spouse's behavior may be worse than the other spouse.
Okay, that makes sense.
And when you take on a case, you oftentimes don't know that.
You're right.
Because you interview this person, comes in, asks you for help, and they tell you their story.
Yes.
And so you think, that's a lovely story.
Yeah.
I think that's a great story. I'd be happy to help you.
Yes.
That's a wonderful story. And then the information comes out, and you learn a little more, and you realize, well, that story's not as good as I thought it was. This person may didn't tell me the whole truth. But you can still represent them. You can still do your best to find the solution that's appropriate. As a lawyer, you feel obligated to help your client because that's what your job is to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are lines that you personally don't have to cross.
Yeah. And you do not.
And I do not. And if certain someone gives you instruction to do something you are not comfortable with, you can say no.
Yeah.
And you can tell them, and I've done this with my clients, said, listen, this is my advice to you. Mm. This is what I think you should do. Mm. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z that you asked me to do. If you want a lawyer to do that, go find somebody else.
Right.
And you leave the choice up to them.
Yes.
If they want to proceed, I will proceed this way. If you want to proceed another way, you have to find somebody else. And I think it's important because I had a conversation, or I gave a small talk about a year ago to a bunch of junior lawyers. And they kept asking me the questions, what do I do when my senior lawyer tells me to do this? And I don't want to do it. And I said, well, always remember, it's your name on the document.
Right.
It's your face in the court they're going to remember. So when you sign something, make sure you're comfortable with it because that is your name at the end of the day. And right. It's your career. This is one client or one senior partner.
Wow.
But it's your career. So always remember that. And I have to remember that. So I remind myself sometimes, this is more important than one particular client. It's your career.
What was it, Adam, that convinced you to take law as a profession?
So my story of being a lawyer is a little different than most.
Uh-huh.
I didn't grow up wanting to be a lawyer.
Really?
No, I had no intention of being a lawyer.
What did you really want to be?
I'm even stranger. I had no plan. My undergrad degree is actually in philosophy.
Really?
I got a philosophy degree. And then I traveled the world backpack for about 2 years. And I worked in a private wine store for a couple of years. And then I realized I wanted a better life.
Right.
I didn't want to be working in a wine store. And I had friends from philosophy who went to law. And I thought, well, that's a broad category. Mm. That covers a lot of different jobs. I'll go back to school, get a law degree, and then maybe I'll find a job then.
Yeah.
And then after my law degree, I had a few different jobs. And then eventually I came to Simpson Thomas & Associates, and I kind of found my niche. I kind of found what I like to do. But now my passion for the law is grown, and I love it.
Mm.
I'm so happy with my career. I wouldn't change it if I had a second chance.
Really?
I love doing what I do. But it wasn't a passion that grew from before. It grew from within. As I practiced it, I started realizing how much I cared for it, how much I love it, and how much I want to do this. So it's kind of a backward story a little bit.
But isn't it, in fact... a very heartwarming story that, you know, you get into, it's almost like an arranged marriage. They don't know one another, and then they fall in love. And that falling in love and caring for each other is way more important than a love marriage that later on becomes quite sour.
It is true. It's grown together.
Yes.
We've definitely, me and the law have grown together, which is excellent. And it really gives me happy to get up and do my job and happy to get up and work on my future and build my career.
Right.
It makes it inspired, which is great.
And your psychology degree, I am positive, probably helped you a lot in understanding people and being able to be sympathetic with them and what they are going through, right?
It was actually a philosophy degree.
Oh, philosophy.
And it was excellent because philosophy is basically argument analysis.
Oh, for sure.
So as a lawyer, but it also is ethics. You do a lot of ethics in philosophy, which you understand the human nature and you understand how it interacts with people and how important it is in a society. So you get those two foundations, argument analysis and ethics, which really helps you kind of in your law career, keep questioning yourself, questioning what you're doing, and making sure you're doing what you think is appropriate.
Would you ever consider going into criminal law?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was in law school, it was my favorite topic. It was my favorite course. It is by far the most interesting law because it's so real. It is so real. Family law is very much the same, and it's very real.
Right.
But when you're talking criminal, you're talking about people going away, people serving time, loss of freedom. What could be more important than the loss of your freedom? And unfortunately, the events you're talking about are often very sad and very difficult. And so you struggle with sometimes the people you have to deal with.
Mm.
But it's very interesting. It's very impactful. So
real, as you mentioned.
Very real. So I'm looking forward to actually adding that to my repertoire in the next year or two. So maybe you have me back and I'll be adding that to the list of the areas I practice. But it's something
fantastic.
I'm very interested in.
Yeah. I think it has got a totally different edge to it. Family law has edge to it anyway because you're involved with emotions and you're involved with children and future. Whereas in criminal law, it is the person's entire life that is, you know, being impacted, right?
Oh, yes, 100%. Again, you get someone who's maybe a parent who gets involved in some unfortunate incident, and you're talking about serving time away from their family, impact on their family if they're the breadwinner. It's a very serious and very significant situation.
I wanted to also ask you questions about your offices. You've moved your offices, and you still have offices in downtown, right?
Yeah, we still have an office at 808 Nelson Street. It's right on the fifth floor there now, which we've been in that building for longer than I've been there. Okay. So for a very long time. It's a great location. It's a great building. We also just opened offices about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. They're right across from the Sir Memorial Hospital.
Oh, so really?
Yeah, right on 96th Avenue.
Okay.
And it's Tower 3. The real address is 13761
okay.
96th Avenue. Okay. And we're on the seventh floor.
Right.
It's great. We love being there. It's a great new office space. It's closer to a lot of the people we represent and help.
Right.
So hopefully it's more accessible for them. And it's great.
So did you move away from the 72nd and 120th? Or is
yeah,
that
was
there?
No, that was our old location. Okay. We had an office there for as long as I've been there.
Yes, yeah. That's right.
But this is a new building. It's a brand new office, and it's much bigger, much more helpful for the clients and all the space we have there.
All right. Let's talk a little bit more about that, but I'll take a very short commercial break, and we'll be right back. Adam Ulan from Simpson Thomas & Associates is with us in the studio today. 604-280-1200, 604-299-8863, in case you want to ask any questions. If you don't, I have millions of questions to ask him. And he is, without losing a beat, has been answering them.
Thank you.
Spice Radio or Radio Rim Jim Sun Rhe Aap Kap Shap Kap Program Hai. Aur aaj humare studios mein Simpson Thomas & Associates ki taraf se Adam Ulan aaye hue hain. Aur family law ke baare mein baat kar rahe hain. Let's talk a little bit about the locations where you are situated. People wanted to come and see you. You said it's a people know where Surrey Memorial Hospital is. Everybody who lives in Surrey has gone to that hospital at least once in their lifetime, you know, or taken somebody there or visited somebody there. Even I got to visit somebody there. And you are, so that means you're very near Tim Hortons?
Yeah, I think that's a little further down the road from us.
Okay.
But right across the street on 96th,
right.
There's been a big development there. There's three towers there currently. They're building another one.
Right.
But yeah, we're happy to be there. We've had a lot of our history is with the Surrey community.
That's right.
And we have a lot of clients that live in the area and the surrounding areas, and even further out in Langley in certain areas. And downtown, although it's lovely to be downtown, is a bit far to get to. And it becomes quite difficult for our clients to meet them in person. And as COVID came along and everything became virtual, we did miss that human interaction.
Mm.
And I know a lot of people, when they want to speak to lawyers about very personal things like family law, they really want to sit in a boardroom with you and look you in the eye. And I understand that, and I get that. I too want to meet my clients on that level when you're dealing with this type of emotional circumstance. So it's great that we can be closer and have more access to them, and easier for them to come see us. And we've got some nice new boardrooms. We have a great reception area with our receptionist is in the Surrey office.
Right.
So that's the place to come to see us. We do most of our work. Our Vancouver office is great because it's close to the courthouse down there.
Right.
It's not really one to receive people off the street.
No.
But the Surrey office is definitely the place to come. And we like to meet clients face-to-face, sit down with them, and really get to know them and get to help them as best we can.
So when you are meeting your clients in Surrey, obviously they need to make appointments in advance. So when they come to talk to you about any topic, is it over the phone first conversation, or do you meet with them?
So in the world we live in, most things are done by the phone. And sometimes there's Zoom meetings as well for the initial meeting.
Right.
And it can depend on the individual. Some people, they prefer to do things through Zoom or over the phone.
Mm.
But we are very open and very wanting people to come in and talk to them. You can get a more of a freedom of a conversation, I feel, in person.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see the emotional response. You can see the issues.
Right.
And it's easier to kind of ask them questions to get responses, to get down to the information you really need. On the phone, sometimes it's a bit distant.
Right.
You don't get the actual personal touch.
No.
So it's nice to see people in person. And if you have to sign forms or you have to do things like that, or they want to bring you and show you something, it works much better to be in person.
So in family law then, obviously there are different fields. You mentioned a couple of them, you know, like children, or when they are involved, a couple is getting a divorce. Or even, not even that. I remember some time back, there was a case in which husband and wife had six kids, four daughters and two sons. And they had a huge farm in Richmond. And when they passed away, they gave their farm to their two sons, nothing to the daughters, although the daughters worked very hard in the farm. And the one of the sons did, one son did not even go near it. It was under beneath him to go to the farmland. And the young women challenged that decision of their parents. And it went to court. And the judge awarded all the sisters some money. So the court case was for $14 million. And both the brothers got, what, $7 million each? Or they had $6 million each and they gave $250,000 to each sister. And it was just very refreshing to see that, yeah, they're South Asian women. And they thought, that's exactly how it's done in India. Boys get everything, girls get nothing, you know. So they were brave enough to sort of, you know, call on it.
It's a common story, actually.
Yeah.
That's what we spoke about earlier, about the culture clash.
Yeah.
Between people coming from different cultures to Canada and the law being different here.
Yes.
So the law requires that parents in estate litigation, which is the disposal of your assets after
right.
you pass, takes care of each child.
Yeah.
And each child is recognized.
Hmm.
So you can't ignore or abandon children. In Canadian law in regards to the way you do your wills and estates. So there is a lot of work, and we actually do that work as well, which is called challenging estate litigation or challenging a will.
Mm-hmm.
And those circumstances, when you have different cultures that set down different ways for their estate to be disposed of, we can look at those issues and help you, guide you through them to see what, if anything, can be done.
So if, say, for example, there is a litigation case, I don't know whether I'm using the right word or not,
just means going to court.
Yeah. If there is a case in which parents have passed away or one parent has passed away and there is no will and the oldest son is assuming that everything is going to be his responsibility now, but there is a spouse left, what sort of a situation does that give for a lawyer?
Well, there's some very technical rules about that, which okay. I won't go into, but there are guarantees that certain... a spouse will get a certain amount, or all of it, or some amounts can be allocated to the children, depending on the nature of the relationship.
Mm.
And in current society, it can be very complicated. You could have blended families
right.
with stepchildren or other types of children.
Yes.
And so it can become quite complicated.
Right.
But there are very statute rules that have been put in place to deal with these circumstances at the very first level.
Yeah.
You can challenge them on yeah. certain grounds, but yeah, there are rules set out to deal with that.
So you would be really following just the rules that are set out there, and then families could bring in whatever, you know, differences that they feel should be brought into it.
Yeah, and that's, well, a lot of cases become very, what we call fact-specific.
Okay.
So you have to learn the facts of your client. You have to mm-hmm. learn the facts of the circumstances. Take the rules that are out there, apply them to those facts, mm-hmm. and see if there's any room for movement.
So out of family law and out of all the divisions, which is the one that fascinates you the most and you like to work on?
Emotionally, it's the family issues regarding separation,
right?
Because you have so many things at play, and you really feel like you're helping somebody. You're really taking someone in very unfortunate circumstances, especially if children are involved, and trying to provide them a way out, a way to rebuild and restart. And you want to give them the best support you can to give them the best opportunity going forward you can, and to help them out of that very difficult and oftentimes traumatic situation.
Mm-hmm. So do you usually deal with just divorce cases and children involved, or does family law include other areas as well?
It does. We often will include things like beforehand, making a cohabitation agreement if you are beginning to live with somebody.
Okay.
And you want to make sure, what does it mean for my assets I bring to the relationship?
Right.
What kind of responsibilities will I have in the relationship or afterwards?
Okay.
So it's kind of preparing. I used to call it prenuptial agreements for marriages.
Right.
Those things we do as well. So we can give you advice and talk to you about in the beginning, which may help at the end. The problem with those is it's not the most romantic conversation.
No.
But I think it's very important.
You know, that was one of the cases, or one of the topics that one of our hosts asked on air. Would you go, you know, in the morning, very young people listen to us, so would you go for prenup, you know, or would you just you're falling in love and you just marry. And I was pleasantly surprised that many young women who listened to us went for prenup.
It does provide security. It puts you in a position where certain things in a relationship can cause stress.
Yeah.
On some things undiscussed or not clarified.
Right.
But if you clarify them, you know exactly what you're going into.
Right.
And you can take some of that stress and the unknown out of a relationship and can provide you comfort.
Right. Well, you know, Adam, I have so many questions and we could continue talking about it, but we've only got 30 seconds left. So I'm going to ask you for your telephone number, which I did not throughout the show.
No problem. The phone number for the office is 604-689-8888.
Oh, very easy. 604-689-8888. Wow. 689-8888.
Yes, it's a great number. Easy to remember.
I think Bunny must have been, or Thomas must have been, both must have been inspired by the Chinese community because that's what they love.
That's a lucky number. Yeah.
Thank you so very much. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday at our event where you are our title sponsor. So thank you for being that.
We're so happy to be there and I can't wait to be there myself.
Take care and we'll see you then.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
With that, we come to the end of our show. वो सभी बातें जो आज आपकी नजरों में अटकी, खटकी और दिल में समाई, उन सबको लेके we'll be here tomorrow. और कल आपके लिए साधना जी न्यूमरोलॉजी और टैरो पेश करेंगी. Stay tuned for the drive home grind with DJ Flight and Maya right here on Spice Radio and your requests with Nutan on Radio Rimchim.